Hello, Marvelites! Welcome to This Week in Marvel, episode number 383. I'm Ryan, a.k.a. Agent M.
And I'm Jamie, a.k.a. Agent Oscar.
Very nice.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be how we're going to kick this episode off, because for your consideration, we have wonderful news! Marvel Studios' Black Panther took home 3 Academy Awards for Best Costume Design, which goes to Ruthie Carter, Best Production Design, going to Hannah Beechler and Jay Hart, and Best Original Score, going to Ludwig Göransson. Really, really cool stuff there. And Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse thwipped up the Academy Award for Best Animated Feature Film. And that hit digital this week. I got my copy.
Lucky.
It is glorious. There's a Spider-Ham like bonus. Yeah, that's the correct reaction we should all have. Also, we are 1 week away from Marvel Studios' Captain Marvel hitting theaters on March 8th. Get your tickets now. For this episode, we are combining Big Talk and Interview because we've got the dynamic duo of Frank Thierry and John Cirilli to talk about funny animal comics. Really, I'm going to be honest with you guys, it's mostly me talking about funny animal comics and having John and Thierry react, but it is hilarious and wonderful. But we are here to specifically talk about Ziggy Pig and Silly Seal, the comic that they wrote, which will be out March 6th. It's really good. It is one of my picks for that week. It's really fun. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, but now on to things we're hyped about this week, including news.
Oh, man. If you missed the live stream with Goose the Cat, then you're in luck, because there's a live stream link on Marvel.com where you can watch it over again and relive it forever and ever.
Totally. The live stream was a delight.
Oh, it was so
Samuel
cute.
Jackson making a cameo, a very brief cameo, was so much fun. I loved it.
I mean, who doesn't want to watch Samuel L. Jackson interact with a cat?
Oh, yeah. Everybody should be watching that. And our This Week in Marvel Unlimited Reading Club with Editor-in-Chief C.B. Sobolski is live. We've got video and audio for that one to get into your face.
That is up on Marvel.com. It is a very fun discussion. Also celebrating Marvel's 80th anniversary. So.
Yes, as we are all year long.
All year. All year and forever, really. Until it's the 90th, I guess.
I've been here for the 70th and the 75th. Here for the 80th. I'm sticking around as long as I can. Till they kick me out.
You're going to get here to the 200th.
Whoa.
The bicentennial.
Cyborg Panagos. Anyway, for a limited time, beginning in March, guests at select Disney parks around the world will have the opportunity to encounter Captain Marvel. It's beginning in March at Disney California Adventure Park. Escorted by a team of agents, Captain Marvel will make her way to Hangar 12 in the northeast corner of Hollywoodland in an armored shield vehicle. So on March 8th, Captain Marvel touches down at Shanghai Disneyland at the Pepsi East Stage in Tomorrowland before heading to Disneyland Paris on March 23rd. I know we have listeners around the world, some even in France, which would be cool. Check her out there. We have tons of our listeners in California, so please check it out. And a big shout out to our friend Shauna McGuire, who has been asking me about this for literally weeks. She's like, do you know when Carol's going to be in the parks? And now I can finally share this information with Sean. And,
oh, that's really funny.
Yeah, it's really, really great.
Okay, no guarantees that the cat will be there, but...
Well, so here's the thing. Do you know this? The Disneyland cats?
I have heard of the Disneyland cats, yes.
Yeah, the Disneyland cats are a real thing. They are cats that live at both of the parks for the Disneyland Resort. And they are there. They are taken care of. They are there to sort of help keep the place running smoothly, if you understand. And they are great. They're adorable. You can often see them in California Adventure Park outside of where the Grand Californian comes into the park. And there's like a water ride. I see them all the time when we visit. It's great.
That's adorable. It's so funny. I haven't thought about those cats in years, and I'm now delighted to be thinking about them again, because now I just like to think they're all Carol's. Those are Carol's cats, of course.
So good. Also, just announced this week is the big epic live stream for Marvel Studios' Captain Marvel. That is going to be the big, epic, wonderful, star-studded premiere from Hollywood on Monday, March 4th, and you guys can watch it on Marvel.com, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's going to be everywhere on all the Marvel places. We're going to make sure that's front and center for you. Lorraine Cinque will be hosting along with Angelique Roche, Tamara Krinsky, and we have a new host joining us, J.D. Heyman, deputy editor at People. It's going to be a lot of fun. We usually have some really cool interviews and moments that come out of these premieres. I can't wait to watch this one.
It's going to be a blast, and you'll get to see all of it on Marvel.com.
As I already mentioned, we released our February TwinBURC, and me, Comic Book Cebulski, talking about our 1950s tales. Our March TwinBURC is, again, it's going to be about the 1960s. But if you have suggestions or requests, one more time, tweet me at Agent M and at CB Cebulski. Use hashtag TwinBURC for those 1960s books. More importantly, right now, we are talking about March 1st through 7th for our This Week in Marvel History part of the show. First up is March 1st, 1941, Submariner Comics number 1 by Bill Everett and Joe Simon comes out, which is just, it's cool because Namor, yo, he's the best.
That's your boy.
March 1st, 1962, so what is that, 21 years later, Incredible Hulk number 1 by Lee and Kirby. You've got Hulk, Rick Jones, Thunderbolt Ross, Betty Ross, and one of my faves, Gargoyle, all making their first appearances. It's interesting because August of 61 is when Fantastic Four comes out. That's the first superhero book. It's not until March of 62, I believe, and the next superhero title really comes out.
Wow. Yeah. That's interesting. And to think they would go on to become members of the Defenders, the non-team.
Yeah, Defenders and tied so closely together.
So March 5th, 1963, Nick Fury and the Howling Commandos are introduced in Sergeant Fury number 1 by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. Freya first appears called Fricka in Journey into Mystery number 92, and she has a huge role in War of the Realms this year. So look back and then look forward. Tales to Astonish number 44 gives us the first appearance of Janet Van Dyne's Wasp.
Yeah, and that was all March 5th, 1963, which is, I love it.
Like those,
yeah, there's, you'll see a couple times, like 1 week, just things happening. March 4th, 1965, in the pages of X-Men number 11, The Stranger debuts, and he's cool, he's a cosmic elder, but also Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch quit the Brotherhood. I put this one on here because it's important because of something we'll talk about next week.
Ooh, a tease.
Yes.
How teasy.
March 2nd, 1967, The Living Tribunal first appears in Strange Tales number 157. I love The Living Tribunal.
Yeah,
he's
same.
Basically judge of reality, somehow being both above and below Eternity, who is the embodiment of reality. He has these three faces with a curtain that goes down depending on which face is talking to you. Sometimes sits in a cool chair that isn't a chair at all. Also, in that issue, because Strange Tales was sort of divided between two different stories, Strange Tales also debuted Baron Von Strucker's Satan Claw.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Which is the name of the gnarly glove of death that he wears.
Oh, imagine if someone had a pair of an Infinity Gauntlet with a Satan Claw.
It's too much.
That's too much?
I can't handle that.
March 7th, 1968, The Grim Reaper debuts in Avengers number 52 by Roy Thomas and John Buscema. I bring this up because we talk a bit about the Grim Reaper and his brother Wonder Man in a future episode of This Week in Marvel with Travis McElroy.
Yeah, that's a fun one. March 2nd, 1982, the first part of the legendary Spider-Man versus Juggernaut story in Amazing Spider-Man number 229 comes out. Go read it on Marvel Unlimited if you've not read it yet. It is one of those, like, deeply influential Spider-Man stories. I've heard a lot of creators put it up there with Spider-Man lifting the rubble off of himself, Spider-Man, like, against all odds, overcoming something that he should have no chance against, and just pushing himself. It's just terrific.
That's so classic Spidey.
Yeah.
Just, that's why we love him.
Yeah.
March 6th, 1984, the big bad of this summer's War of the Realms story, Malekith, debuts in Thor number 344 during Walter Simonson's landmark run.
Yeah.
We're going to be seeing a bit of this guy.
Heck yeah. March 5th, 1985, Silver Sable, who was recently a big part of Marvel Spider-Man for PlayStation 4, she premieres in Amazing Spider-Man number 265.
March 7th, 1989, West Coast Avengers number 46 introduce us to the greatest Avengers team with the Great Lakes Avengers, Mr. Immortal, Flatman, Big Bertha, Dinosaur, and Doorman.
Yeah.
Tell me about these guys, please.
They're adorable. They're exactly what you think.
Do they all have Minnesota accents, the Great Lakes Avengers?
Depending on who writes them, yeah.
Oh, geez.
Squirrel Girl was a member of the GLA back in the day. But they're fun. I think in this issue, Hawkeye and Mockingbird might actually join the Great Lakes Avengers for a little bit. It's a lot of fun.
For very little bit, probably.
Yeah. they're a real fun team.
Probably makes a great hot dish.
March 2nd, 1993, Cable's first ongoing series begins with Cable number one. And I put this on here specifically because also in this same time period, March 5th, 2008, another ongoing Cable series launched. The latter one has Hope and Cable traveling through time. You have Cable with little baby Hope strapped to his chest, and they go through time. And it is such a good series. It's like Lone Wolf and Cub. It's a lot of fun.
March 5th, 1996. I don't know if we talked about this during our sad, sad Wolverine talk a few months back, but in Wolverine number 100, he devolved, got more feral, kind of lost his nose almost, and killed Cable's son, Genesis.
It was a whole thing.
That is a whole thing. Everything with Wolverine is a whole thing.
Yeah, they were Genesis was trying to give him his adamantium back, and it all messed up. And then, yeah, if you look at images of Wolverine right after that, you're like, what's happening with your face, kid?
Aw, poor Wolverine. Yeah. He got it back, though.
Yeah. March 1st, 2006, we often talk about Captain Marvel in 2012, but to me, the Carol Renaissance starts with House of M and then got big in the proper Marvel universe with this series, Ms. Marvel number one, debuting this week by Brian Reed and Roberto De La Torre. So it's really influential into seeing Carol's sort of upward trajectory.
Yeah, very cool. That's the diamond, the yellow and black costume on her?
Yeah, the classic Ms. Marvel.
Got it. March 7th, 2007 is the fallout of Civil War, the death of Captain America and Captain America number 25 and Mighty Avengers number 1 with a team led by none other than Carol Danvers.
Yep. March 6, 2013, the Age of Ultron event started, which, you know, influenced movies and so much more.
Got no strings.
Mm.
March 2nd, 2016, Riri Williams makes her debut in Invincible Iron Man number 7 by Brian Michael Bendis and Mike Diodato, and Black Widow number 1 by Mark Waid and Chris Samnee started, and if you missed that, go back right now.
I promise you, you're going to want to know that issue. It's real cool. March 3rd, 2017, Logan hits theaters. Holy frijoles, I love that movie. If you've never watched the black and white version of Logan, it is incredible. So good. So that's our This Week in Marvel history for this week. Next week, we'll be talking about plenty more.
More history, because they just kept going. They didn't take any weeks off.
No. Our top books from this week's episode of Marvel's Pull List are Daredevil number 2, Invaders number 2, giving you that double chip dip, Superior Spider-Man number 3, and West Coast Avengers number 8. Make sure you subscribe to Marvel's Pull List wherever you get your podcasts and watch video versions on Marvel.com. Little teaser, it's me and Ricky Purden coming up in like a week or two doing the video version of Marvel's Pull List, and it is fun. He puts his hand in my water, and I still drink the water.
Oh my goodness, that is friendship.
It really is.
That is true friendship.
Our Big Talk interview this week is all about Ziggy Pig, Silly Seal, and funny animal comics from Marvel with writers Frank Thierry and John Cirilli, particularly because they have Ziggy Pig, Silly Seal comics number 1 on sale next week, and we wanted to get you guys hyped up and ready for it. I will give you a spoiler for Marvel's Pull List for next week. This issue is one of my favorites of the week. Probably it is my favorite of our 80th anniversary sort of like throwback issues. It's our comedy-focused issue. It is really funny. It is very dark. It has got a parental advisory on it, and it is amazingly drawn by Jacob Chabot. It's just so good. It's a lot of fun, and I get into a lot of silly stuff with Frank and John because they've been friends for 20-odd years. Back in the day, John Cirilli was sort of managing the old Marvel.com when it was, you know, like AOL was like the big thing. Like this is like the mid to late 90s. And Frank was an intern back then. And he, you know, used to work on .com with John. They became friends. Frank was a great writer, is a great writer, and got more work on that side of things. So they've been really close ever since.
When we were a humble GeoCities site.
GeoCities. All good stuff. Check it out right now. Frank Thierry, John Cirilli talking about Ziggy Pig and Silly Seal. How are y'all doing?
I'm doing great. And you might wonder why I'm dressed like a refugee from Sesame Street, okay? Because this, okay, is supposed to be Ziggy and Silly cosplay, okay? So, you know, you look at the cover, and that's, I mean, you know, because John's big idea was, hey, let's have us dress as Ziggy and Silly for the thing here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. His big idea was, Oh, yeah, I found a shirt with a Z on it. That was the big. This is it.
What does Ziggy wear in the comic?
He doesn't wear a black. First of all, he doesn't wear a black shirt. He doesn't have a Z on his shirt. He's got like a Smurf hat on. We have none of this. Okay, we have me with a black shirt with a Z on it, and you with this red shirt on.
Silly,
okay, you have no hat on. You have no.
Silly wears red.
I was even gonna wear. Okay, I even had the idea. I says, get like one of them pig snouts. I would have came here and made an ass out of myself and wear pig snout.
Yeah, meanwhile, okay? I went on the internet yesterday.
Okay,
looked
okay
for
yesterday.
Pig snouts.
Oh, yesterday. So the cracked staff over here couldn't find a pig snout, okay? Couldn't find a striped shirt, all right? And this is what I'm dealing with here.
Good to see you too, Frank.
Now that that's out of the way, for viewers who aren't familiar with these legendary characters, who are Ziggy Pig and Silly Seal? Where is their place?
I mean, they're a classic comedy team, like, you know, Bing Crosby and Bob Hope and
Abbott and Costello,
blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Laurel and Hardy.
Yes.
Martin and Lewis.
We got it.
Cirilli and Thierry.
Cirilli and Thierry, yes. Yeah. So they're a classic team, and like all classic teams, we play it that they had some sort of a little falling out there. You know what I mean? So Ziggy kind of hates Silly because Ziggy has lost all his money. He drinks a lot. He's kind of like a bum, and Silly is the zillionaire. He has
uber rich.
He has, hey, I could have you killed money.
So and is that Silly, why you chose these costumes? Is it more fitting to your personalities?
What do you think? Anyway, yes, Silly is wildly, wildly rich. He opened fish canneries at some point in his life, wanted Ziggy to come in with him, but Ziggy decided that he didn't want to. And he's been living a really happy life. But the two of them haven't spoken in forever because Ziggy blames Silly for a lot of things. Silly is oblivious. He's just a happy-go-lucky dude that's been very fortunate in his life for things to have gone well. He married well. His wife is the CEO of Silly Enterprises. She's run all of his business dealings, and he's like Bezos wealthy.
It's pretty good. I want to get more into the comic in a little bit, but I want to give a little bit of background. Part of why I wanted you guys here for this episode was to obviously talk about your new comic, but get into some of this weirdness of all our old animal comics. So like, Frank, you've been writing Marvel comics for like 20 years now, right?
Yeah, thanks for letting everybody know my age, by the way.
Old.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I'm an old guy up here with a letter Z on his chest.
Yeah, you're doing great. It's really, you've been at Marvel for a long time, but
he's older than me, by the way.
A little bit. Ziggy Pig, Silly Seal first appeared in Crazy Comics number 1, which I actually found the specific day it came out.
Oh, wow.
May 21st, 1942.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah. They were the actual lead features in the book, and it was drawn by Al Jaffe. Al Jaffe, legendary
Mad Comics.
Mad Magazine.
Yeah, Mad Magazine, Mad Comics. But also in that issue, Tuffy Tomcat, Snappy Turtle, Chester Chipmunk, Pookie the Poetical Pup.
Oh, how did we not use Pookie the Poetical Pup?
Pookie didn't make the cut. I hate to tell you, Pookie didn't make the cut. We got Tuffy in there.
Tuffy's in there.
Snappy Turtle or whatever the hell his name is.
We haven't reached the best ones yet.
Oh, there's more?
Oh, yeah. This book is 64 pages long. It's packed with stuff.
Posty, is there an animal on every page?
Pretty much. Posty the Pelican and Lolly the Elephant. Baldy, which I don't know what Baldy is. There's no reference anywhere on the internet.
Is he just some bald dude?
Might be an eagle. Who knows?
Again, I'm thinking he's an eagle.
Another one called Little Pan. No info on that. But the best one, and the one I'm very upset that you guys didn't include, is Ding-a-ling the Little Bellboy.
Oh, my.
Ding-a-ling the Little Bellboy. That sounds
so
like a different
all
kind
of you
of
fans,
comic altogether. I don't
please
think
go by number 1 so we can do a number 2.
Yes.
Because Ding-a-ling, he needs to be back in the spotlight.
He's got to be back in the spotlight.
Yeah.
But you guys did this number 1. How did this project come together?
That's actually a great story. I also want to point out, it's very fascinating because if 1942 was when they debuted, they were gone by 1946. And those comics that had all of those funny animals in it, and we were not Marvel at the time, we were Timely Publishing. That was all the rage, right? Looney Tunes on the screen. So Timely was publishing these comics featuring all these funny animals. And there was a brief meteor of just shining. They were selling like crazy. And then all of a sudden, they're gone.
So it was
in 46.
Like a year.
It was like 4 years.
4 years?
Their last single issue was 1946, or it was like their solo title. They had their own book, but they actually kept appearing until 1947.
But yeah, specifically, you know, how they came back into being was, and it took me a while to figure this out, but it was a decade ago. Dan Buckley, who's the president of Marvel, we were just having a casual conversation in his office one day, and he comes over to me, and he's like, you know, we have all of these old characters that nobody's doing anything with. We should really do something with them. And he kind of like flips through this book. He's like, look at these guys, Ziggy Pig and Silly Seal. And it was the cover to Ziggy Pig, Silly Seal, number 6, which was issued in 1946. And that was their last solo book together. And it's remarkable. If you haven't seen the cover, you should see it. It's a beautiful, beautiful cover. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's really cool. So I just kind of got to like thinking about it. Frank wasn't in the picture yet, thank goodness.
No, I come later.
Yeah, he comes in later.
You're the fixer.
Yep. Yeah,
and so I've actually made it good at this point.
I had this basic structure, what we were just laying out before, that something had happened between the two of them. They were this very famous comedy duo. Something broke them up. And Ziggy was just a miserable lout of, can't even say human being, he's a pig. Miserable lout of a pig. And Silly was just this happy-go-lucky, you know, everything went right for him. No matter what he touched, it turned to gold. And I went to Frank, and I'm like, Frank, you know, we're kind of thinking about this.
So now this is where the magic happens. You understand when he came to Frank, okay? And that's where one of the things that we had both discussed, okay? We had both seen the movie The Wrestler.
Yes.
Okay?
This is key.
This is key, okay? And that really came into focus of how we wanted to portray Ziggy.
Starring the incredible Mickey Rourke, who I still love to this day. And there's specifically a scene in there that really lent to this, which was Mickey, whoever this character's name was in the wrestler, I don't remember. But he's at like this really kind of low-grade, you know, fan convention.
Yeah.
And he's there, like, and he's signing autographs, you know, taking a few dollars to get, you know, this, take a Polaroid and sign autographs. And he had this fanny pack on. And I'm just like, oh, that's Ziggy.
Yeah. Well, we have a version of that.
We do. We never got the fanny pack, though, which upset me. There's no fanny pack in the comic.
There's enough in there, though.
That oh, yeah. No, I've read the book. That whole scene, like, I just looked at a black and white of it, and I can't wait to see the colors because there's so much detail in that scene. It's upsetting.
Yeah. Well, it's a comic book convention. It's called the alley behind a closed down laundromat con.
Yes.
Okay. And that's where, and it's basically a cavalcade of losers.
Yes.
I mean, there is, we have Obnoxio the Clown. We have, yes, there's me there.
Don't spoil them all.
Okay.
No, it is a great scene. And at this point, we have to give credit to Jacob Shabbat, who
really
drew the book. You know, there's a script that goes out to the artist. And one of the great things about how this art form happens is the artist will likely put his own thoughts into these scenes that he's drawing. And, oh, my goodness. I mean, he killed it. Every page
really
that was
did.
Coming back, Frank and I were, like, just texting back and forth to each other, like, oh, my God, that scene, the con scene, is fantastic.
The con scene, there's a lot I ask for, you know what I mean? A lot of crazy things I ask for. But even then, he added a lot of his own stuff, and it matched perfectly.
Brilliant. It was brilliant stuff.
Like we mentioned Mad Magazine, it does very much has a Mad Magazine, Crazy Magazine feel to it, especially those scenes and the scenes later at Doom's Castle.
You know, to go back to Al Jaffe for one second, Al Jaffe is 97 years old. Al Jaffe still works. He still does the fold-ins to Mad Magazine. The fact that we have some sort of homage to that sort of art is huge.
I was curious about how much of that was from you guys, how much of it was from Jacob, just because it's so packed. Like, every inch of every panel, he's throwing jokes in.
Yeah,
he's got little gags.
Again, a lot of stuff we added in there, but a lot of stuff he put in there as well. And I'm like, oh, that's great. You know what I mean? You know, there's a lot of that in there, you know?
Yeah. And you guys have some classic characters in the book alongside Ziggy and Seely.
Yes, cameos aplenty.
Cameos aplenty, along with, I think there's at least one new character for this title, right? By the end of the book, was that a new character?
That is a new character, yeah.
Yes. That is a brand new character. There's actually a couple of new characters in there. Not to spoil anything, but Ziggy's mom plays a huge role in it.
she's dynamite.
Yeah. And we would be remiss without, we have to acknowledge the fact that this is not the first Ziggy Pig and Silly Seal project since 1946. Scotty Young wrote an issue of Deadpool, I think it was number 8, that was just out about a month ago. And he included Ziggy and Silly in that, where we find out that it might not have exactly been Ziggy and Silly in this book. But since that existed, and since Scotty did such a great job with that book, we wanted to honor the fact that it existed. So we kind of tied in, you'll see when you read it, we'll tie in directly to what happened in that book. And plus, you know, we had a couple
Deadpool actually does appear in our book.
Yeah, yes. Great. we had a couple of curveballs thrown at us, like, you know, when we first saw the art that was solicited, a beautiful piece of art, and I don't remember the artist's name who did that cover
piece. I think
piece.
It's Nick Klein, right?
Nick Klein did the does Deadpool.
I think he did the cover. Did he do the cover?
I think so. I think so. But there's a fantastic shot of Ziggy and Silly in a canoe, like going down, just you know, to their demise. Let's say, you know, about going over a waterfall, and they have a map, and they're kind of looking at the map, and on the map on the front, it says Latveria. And we didn't know about that until we saw it solicited, and then we're like, okay, we can't just let that go. So yeah. There,
that ties into what we got our idea from that.
Latveria will be involved.
Yeah. Jacob draws a map of Europe. Yeah, and I don't know that I've ever seen a map with Latveria like that was so clear of how the geography was. I don't remember ever us putting that in anything.
I blatantly asked for like the Indiana Jones map.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And even in that little map, there's little things that Jacob himself put in there that are brilliant.
Yes. Mm. Well, we'll get back to this a little bit, but I want to run down some of these other books and characters because this is part of what we're doing on This Week in Marvel, celebrating Marvel's 80th anniversary. And so they were a pretty big deal for Timely, as we've been talking about in the 40s. They had their own book. They showed up in a handful of other titles. Some of the other funny animal books at the time were Crazy Comics, of course, Ziggy Pig and Silly Seal Comics, which actually launched 75 years ago this month on February 1st, 1944. I found the actual date. Comedy Comics, Super Rabbit Comics, which launched the same month as Ziggy and Silly. It was like days later. And he's a guy with a little cape. He's a rabbit. And it just, in just regular text, just says Super Rabbit. Like, kind of low budget, but it's great. He's great. But Ziggy and Silly show up in his book a ton. They're very much connected. Some of the characters, so if you guys do more, I want to give you some of the names of other characters we had in the 40s and 50s as possible fodder for future stories. So it's Super Rabbit we talked about, which would be a lot of fun.
What was the Pootie thing?
We'll get to it. Super Rabbit.
All right.
Percy Penguin. Super Squirt.
Billy. I'll leave that.
Yep. I was going right. I was driving past it. You had to stick your head out the window.
Wait, what was the penguin?
Percy Penguin.
I love that already.
Yeah. Billy and Buggy Bear. This one's real cool. The Ginch and Claude Pennygrabber,
Were they in Pulp Fiction?
Sound like they could be. It's a dog and maybe a fox, I think. I couldn't really tell.
What are they grabbing? What's going on?
Pennygrabber. But I saw at least one story that was written by Stan Lee with art by Jim Mooney.
Way back,
this is like 42, 43.
Wow.
Lester the Lion, Montague Pigeon, Morty Monk.
Oh, my Lord. I know. Montague Pigeon.
Morty Monk and Buck Baboon. Monk being monkey, I believe. Waldo Wolf, Skip O'Hare, Puffy Pig.
There's a lot of pigs involved. Yep. I think they feel like they're pigs.
There's more.
There's more pigs?
There's one more pig. Floop and Skilly Boo, which I have no idea what it is. The one you were asking about, Frankie, was, what was his name? Pookie the Poetical Pup.
Oh, okay, whatever.
Pookie the Poetical Pup, yes. Okay.
Casper Cat, Crazy Crow. Crazy Crow actually showed up a ton with Silly and Ziggy. Homer Rabbit, Ossie Ostrich, Wacky Duck, Sharpie Fox, Buzzy Bear, Squeaky Mouse, Tubby Pig. So we got another pig.
Again, another vote of the pigs.
Wonder Duck. And this one, I think you'll like this one.
I see something coming together with the pigs.
Well, yeah.
Wellington Mutt. It was so good.
It's like a fancy, Wellington Mutt. Fancy Mutt. He had to have started with Percy Penguin at some point. And Montague Pigeon?
Yeah, Montague Pigeon.
Oh, those three.
I'll send you the whole list of them.
Oh my God. That's so the Avengers fun. of the crazy animal comics.
Oh, it would be so good. But so we were talking about the end of Ziggy and Silly's run. I believe it was Silly Tunes number 7, which came out March 5th, 1947. That is, I believe, the last Golden Age appearance of Ziggy and Silly. And that's after over 50 appearances in 5 years. And think about it, we weren't publishing 80 comics a month. We were publishing a lot, but 50 appearances in those 5 years is huge. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Especially comics were coming out every other month or
quarterly,
whatever it was. So by August 1947, Funny Animal Comics were almost all done. No more Ziggy and Silly. Super Rabbit actually goes until August of 48, and then there's really just sporadic releases at that point. Even titles that had been funny animal books like Crazy, where they showed up in, and another book that Ziggy and Silly were in called Ideal, both of those turned into just completely different books, same numbering, same name. They just like have humans in them. Mm. Most of the line at that point becomes teen titles, westerns, little superheroes, and crime. We have one character, Wonder Duck, And we had a bunch of...
We had a lot of ducks and pigs.
Ducks
yeah.
and pigs. That, yeah. was, that was the bread and butter.
A bunch sure. of foxes thrown in there.
Yeah. Wonder Duck carries over from the 40s into the 50s at this point. His book becomes It's a Duck's Life, which is a terrific title for a comic book, which features Buck Duck and Super Rabbit. That lasts until the end of 51. But Buck Duck actually launches his own book in 53, only lasting 4 issues. And Ziggy and Silly, they actually show up in 2009 in Marvel Adventures Fantastic Four number 46 by Paul Tobin and Perry Perez, which is an interesting one. You can read it on Marvel Unlimited. Also in the issue, Tuffy Cat, Super Rabbit, Crazy Crow, and Wonder Duck. But only Ziggy, Silly are named. Super Rabbit shows up. You can tell he's Super Rabbit because his shirt says Super Rabbit. And Tuffy Tomcat is like a monster who turns back into a cartoon by the end. But it's like
when
they
was this?
2009, that came out. But that's it. That is really our run, because we could talk about Spider-Ham and sort of how that sure. came out of the inspiration from Ziggy sure. and Silly, but it's so different. These comics are so fun. And John, you and I were talking about some of the covers
yeah.
to these comics and how...
Oh, the one you tweeted out today.
The one you tweeted today was like a murder scene.
Yeah,
100% a murder scene.
Yeah, it's a murder
fantastic.
Scene.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So these comics can be really fun. If you can get your hands on them, check them out. But Ziggy Pig and Silly Seal comes out March 6th by John Cirilli, Frank Thierry, Jacob Chabot. And it's terrific. You guys buy it. Go check it out.
Several copies.
Yeah,
you
several
copies. You want a
copies.
Sequel and see Monkey Spunk or whatever his name is. And
Spunky Monkey.
What? Yeah, all right. Spunk the Monkey, whatever. You want to see these characters, okay? Percy whatever and Flute Guy.
Percy Pringle. Come on, I got them all already.
You want to see these guys? Go buy several copies.
Yes.
You
know yes, what I mean? Indeed.
And if you don't have the money... Going through dad's pockets when he's not around, this is not the worst thing either.
No, for sure.
Email mheroes@marvel.com. Let us know what you think of the book. It's really terrific. I read it this morning and I...
It is.
Can I give you one last... Because you were talking, we were talking a little bit about Ziggy and Silly's kind of how they came back into being. And it really was a sort of 10-year process.
Yeah.
We had talked to Dan Buckley. He had really liked it at the time. And then me being in the new media group, over the years we... discuss maybe animation, whatever. For whatever reason, it never happened.
I was going to be the voice.
That's right.
Of Ziggy.
So. Rich Herrera,
I got the
video
show.
Guru here at Marvel, actually did a test of Ziggy just at a bar. Wonderful little test. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Ryan has never seen that.
I've never seen I'll have it to show it. How about that?
You saw it. I
never
sent it to you.
Oh.
All right. I'll show it to you. Anyway, so here we are in 2019, and the Lunar New Year is happening. Guess what? Year of the Pig. So Ziggy came full circle. His time was right. That's the only thing I wanted to say.
I like it. That's good. Hopefully we'll see more of them very soon. John, Frank, thanks for being on This Week of Marvel.
Later.
Thanks for having us.
Big, big thanks to Frank and John for taking the time. And I hope you guys enjoyed that as much as literally everyone in the room enjoyed it. We had people who were watching who had no reason to be there. They just wanted to watch the interview. And it was terrific.
Yes. And if you think that they were fun to be around and listen to, you will also love reading them, because we have a great interview with them on Marvel.com that we did a while back. And it is just as fun to read. It was so fun to edit. Such a pleasure. I hope they do more. This was John Cirilli's first comic book that he
wrote. I know.
So it's a big, fun, huge deal. We love it.
I'm going to get him to sign my copy. It's
Yay.
Very exciting. All right. Our question of the week is tied to that. If you guys have listened to that interview, you know I listed off so many wild animal characters. So I want to know which character sounds the most fun, which one you want to see come back. There's so many. You know, you can pick. I want to go with Tuffy Tomcat just because I love cats. He's a tough tomcat. Makes me happy.
Yeah, I mean, I love the cats, but I'm a dog person first. So yeah. I'm going with a poetic pup.
Yeah, Pookie. Good old Pookie.
Pookie's a bulldog.
So you guys let us know which of these animal characters you are most excited to potentially, ever see again. You can tweet your answers using This Week in Marvel, the hashtag. Email them to twinpodcast@marvel.com or send a message to our Facebook page at facebook.com/ThisWeekInMarvel.
And please feel free to include pictures of your very own Marvel Ooh. Pets at home.
Yeah.
We would love to see them.
We have a Slack channel here at Marvel, an internal one of Marvel pets. Anyway, really good stuff. Now it is time for our community section where you guys have sent in your tweets and your emails. Our first up is an email from our friend Jason in Hawaii.
He says,
Dear Ryan and Jamie, aloha from Hawaii. This past weekend, February 22nd through the 24th, was the amazing Comic-Con Aloha. It was awesome. They had the following guests: Neil Adams, Chad Harden, Marv Wolfman, Larissa Page, who's a cosplayer, David Nakayama, one of Marvel's cover artists, specifically Ant-Man and the Wasp, that Jason points out, but he's done so much. And he also works on some of our games and other stuff. He's great. David is wonderful. And Jason says, to his understanding, the first time ever the entire Infinity Gauntlet creative team was at one convention. Jim Starlin, Joe Rubenstein, Ron Lim, and kicking off his farewell tour, the legendary George Perez.
Very cool.
All of them were so nice, and it was great meeting them all. And this is one convention Jason will never forget. He shared some photos. I don't know if he shared them to our full thread, but he sent them to me. So if I'm blowing up your spot, Jason, those were the greatest photos. I was so excited for you to meet George Perez. Oh, so neat.
Very awesome. And Twitter. Let's go to Twitter. Steve Norris says, Agent M, always wondered what the deal was with cover dates, now relegated to the credits page subtext thing, and why they bear no relation to the actual publication date. Bug me for years. Can you explain what they're about?
Yeah, Steven sent me this question a while ago. Apologies for not answering it sooner. I'm going to answer it the best I can. So when he says the credits page subtext thing, that's the indicia. That's sort of the legal lines. That's information about publication, stuff like that. Part of that goes, I believe, to the library. It is tied with Library of Congress. But a publication date, sort of like that cover date, is always roughly 2 to 3 months ahead of time. I don't know exactly why, but that's the same way it is for magazines, for a lot of the like monthly or long-term publications.
Yeah.
It's different from the on-sale date. It's always going to be different from the on-sale date, which even going back to especially the old comics, we look at the Library of Congress dates because that's the only one that we have that's reliable. Especially back, you look at the 60s, for instance, there wasn't like, hey, comics come out on Wednesday like we have now. They were just released kind of whenever.
Willy-nilly.
Yeah, they could be. It's really depending on the printer and the delivery system and all kinds of stuff. Newsstands would get them when they got them. You couldn't go to your newsstand knowing necessarily, hey, I'm going to get it on this Wednesday. It's kind of the best I can do to answer it. I don't know why that happens. I'm sure if we had a historian, they could pinpoint that, but is always going to have a different cover date from what the on-sale date is. That's just the way it is. Look at it for a couple months difference. Chris Berzith says, look at what my six-year-old daughter drew for this week in Marvel, and it is the greatest picture ever.
I audibly went, when I saw it on Twitter. It made me so happy. Chris, thank you so much. And thank you to your daughter.
Yeah, seriously. It is wonderful. I love seeing art from listeners, our fans, and their family.
And it's always awesome to see kid art and really good kid art, because I think it's always really fun to draw spider webs, as there are two of them in this very cool picture, which you can see on the Marvel.com post for this episode. But yeah, Spider-Man's not easy to draw. And there's a lot of detail, and it's all there.
Yeah.
And last week's question of the week was super fun. We got a lot of great responses from you guys. We asked you, what was your favorite Marvel toy?
Yeah, roughly, what is your favorite Marvel
toy? Yeah, a lot of you came back with pictures and everything. Jiggy Cruz says, great question of the week. It happens to be my Marvel origin story. I was very close to my grandmother when she was alive. In the Christmas of 1990, she introduced me to Spider-Man with these two toys. The rest is history.
Oh, my God. Those are the best. Aww. Those are some Toy Biz Spidey toys right there. Really, really great. Lex Pendragon says, the best toys are the Spider-Man Legos because my daughter's made me in them and she has pictures. I'm going to throw up because it's so adorable, all of this.
He's going to lovingly vomit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's all I know how to do is lovingly vomit.
Amanda A.H. Francis says, I know I'm a bit late, but this is my favorite Marvel toy, quote unquote. I never had any growing up, but I am so happy to buy some with my grown-up money now. Hey, that's totally fine. That's what I do. She says, I got this Kamala Khan for my birthday last year.
That's great. That's the Kotobukiya Bishoujou Ms. Marvel, it looks like, from the quick glance I took at Triple P's phone. She's nodding. I did it, guys.
Good job.
Yeah.
Karis Pollard says, so it's new comic book day today, or it was at least, for her. Four for me this week, and a high quality week too. And she says her picks are Captain America number 8, West Coast Avengers number 8, Avengers No Road Home number 3, and Invaders number 2.
I read Avengers No Road Home number 5 or 6 this morning on the train. No one's ready for it.
Whoa.
No one's ready.
Whoa.
That's all I'm saying. I'm leaving it out there. Last one by Karis. She says, finally, my This Week in Marvel of the Week goes to West Coast Avengers. The story is fun, and I love the characters. But was this Be Mean to Clint week?
It is every week.
It kind of is. Plus, it has the best pets, which is super true.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a new artist who just happens to be the guy who made me fall in love with Darkhawk. And that artist would be Gang Hyuk Lim. Just the most gorgeous art in this issue. I couldn't agree more, Karis. Wow, wow, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Wonderful way to end this episode. By the time you guys hear our next episode, I assume everyone will have seen Marvel Studios' Captain Marvel.
Because
everyone who listens is going to be going Thursday night. Right?
Aren't ya?
I will have seen it at least twice by that point. Anyway, gotta go. Bye.
Bye.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Jamie.
This is Marvel.
Your universe.